Amen. Amen. Well, we believe that, amen, that greater things are yet to come. God's still not done with this city, with this area, and God has great things in store for us. If we just allow Him to be a part of our lives and to let Him be first and foremost in our lives, that changes everything, doesn't it? Put Him first and foremost. It means that it changes the way you do life. It changes the way you do family. It changes the way you relate to your neighbors and your coworkers, because Jesus Christ is your Lord, and He's first and foremost. And as we get into God's Word today, let's have a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for the opportunity we have to bow before You today and to lift You up and to glorify Your name. And Lord, as we talk about building our homes on a solid foundation, Lord, we pray that You would help us to do that, that You would guide us and lead us and allow us to do what Your Word says. That is to put You at the very foundation of our lives. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been in a series entitled, Jesus, What's the Story? And as you know, one-third of Jesus' recorded teaching was done in parables. And that means that He would take a story and give it a spiritual meaning and drive home a very powerful spiritual truth. And so the parables are wonderful to study because they give us an insight into what Jesus wants to teach us, what He thinks are important principles about living for Him and being a follower of Christ, being a disciple. We want to be more than just Christians. We want to be disciples who really follow Christ and give our lives to Him and say, Lord, I want to be like You. When you think of a disciple, you think of someone who's with another person all the time and studying what they say and what they write. That's what we want to do with Jesus. We want to be with Him all the time, study what He taught us in the New Testament, and to be like Him, because He created us and loved us enough to die on the cross for us. Today I want to talk about this, the parable of the builders. The parable of the builders. Two builders that built on different foundations, and the end result was very drastic, very different, because the builders built differently. On my honeymoon, after we were married in Germany, my wife and I, we traveled, we rented a little Volkswagen Rabbit, and we drove through Europe on our honeymoon. Sounds like fun, right? And we came to Italy, and we came to this building. Anybody know what that building is? The Leaning Tower of Pisa, exactly, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's an amazing building as you walk up to it, but it was built by a guy by the name of, and I love this name, Bonanno Pisano. I love that name. The mistake was they contracted a German construction team to build it. No, I'm only kidding. They did not. But it was built in 1173 AD, and it stands 8 stories tall. But the problem is this. It was built on a bad foundation. It has an 18-foot lean at the top. And it's an amazing thing to see this building leaning like that. And there was a major restoration that was done. In fact, when we were there, we couldn't get inside because they were trying to restore the building to keep it from leaning any further, hoping to avoid a collapse. And the problem was it was built on a bad foundation, a foundation that could not support adequately that structure. Well, that's what we want to avoid in our lives. We want to avoid building our lives on the wrong foundation, on the wrong foundation. I was reading an article about a builder in Canada that had built these beautiful homes. They were high-end homes, and everything was fine. People bought the homes and lived in them until the rains came and the storms came, and one by one, the houses began to collapse. And they began to investigate what happened, and finally, under pressure, the builder admitted that he had built his homes on a garbage dump. He knew that. No one else, I guess, did. He built it on a garbage dump, and the houses began to collapse. It wasn't built on a right foundation. And we'd rather have a shack on a rock than a mansion in a swamp. Amen? We'd rather have a log cabin on a rock than a mansion on a swamp. And that's the spiritual truth that we're trying to drive home today. The bottom line is this. Our lives, like buildings, must be built on the right foundation in order to withstand the trials and realities of life and death. If we want to withstand that in a way that honors God, we must build our lives on the right foundation. The foundational aspect of our lives. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. We're going to read this parable. If You have your Bibles? Great. If you don't, there's one nearby. I'd love for you to take your Bibles and open it up. This is how the passage begins. Jesus asks this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" That's a great question, isn't it? Jesus had another amazing ability, and that was to ask great questions. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I tell you? That's a great question for all of us. You know, when we come to Jesus Christ, we receive him as Lord, right? You might say, well, Mel, I want to receive him as Savior because I want salvation, I want forgiveness, but I don't know about this whole lordship thing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You must acknowledge that he's worthy to be followed. And Jesus asks a very powerful, potent question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words, he said, and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Here's the first lesson I think we need to learn as we look at this parable. It's this: one key predicament that all of us have in our lives, implementation. I need to implement what God has given me. That's what I think Jesus was driving at when he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? He doesn't say you don't know what I want you to do. He says you don't do what I tell you to do. And our key problem, our key predicament today is to take the word of God and to adequately and accurately implement it in our lives. That means to look into our lives and take stock of our lives and see the direction our lives are going, and to look at every closet, every room in our lives and say, have I adequately taken the principles of God's word and applied it to my life? See, God wants every room, every closet of your metaphorical house. He wants every area of your home to be under his control, every area of your life. And today I want to ask you, are you taking the principles of Jesus Christ and applying them? No more excuses. No more saying, oh, you know, I love what Jesus Christ says, but I'm going to still have my issues and my struggles and my problems, and I refuse to implement the word of God in those areas. That's building your house on a wrong foundation. That's refusing to take the word of God and apply it adequately and accurately into your lives. And my challenge to all of us today is to love the word of God and realize that his plan is perfect. That our plan, if it's different than God's word, our plan stinks. And we need to take the word of God and apply it to our lives and your marriages, men and women. Apply the word of God. Implement the word of God into your lives. God's plan is perfect. And I believe with all my heart and all the years I've done ministry that marriages and families ultimately fail because someone in that marriage, someone in that family is not following the principles of God's word. If they did, that would be a wonderful marriage, a wonderful family. But too often we allow our thinking and our selfishness and our old natures to begin to drive our lives and give direction to our lives. I love what James 1:22-24 says. It says this: be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do you get that? If you just hear the word and don't apply it, you're deceiving yourselves. And it's been said that the easiest person to deceive is often ourselves. We try to rationalize the way we live. We try to rationalize our weaknesses and struggles. We try to rationalize our way of doing things. But God's desire for all of us is to implement the word of God, because we want our lives to be built on a right foundation. We want the legacy of our lives to be one in which Jesus Christ is honored and glorified, and to hear that amazing phrase one day, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You took my words and you implemented them. You applied them to every area of your life. And I want you to know that all of you are leaving a legacy. Just like the pebble that's dropped in a still pool of water, there is a ripple effect. No matter how small that pebble is, there is a ripple effect in that water from dropping that petal into the pool. And you're having a ripple effect as well. And there are people who are watching you, and there are people who are seeing the testimony of your lives. And our challenge today, my challenge as a pastor, take the word of God, faithfully implement it. Here's the second thing. One universal activity, construction. We're all in the process of building something. You are building something today. What are you building? I think I've shared with you before that I was a mason's helper for a summer when I was going to seminary. I found out there was a job that could be had, and I was a mason's helper, and I went there every day in the summer. It was the hardest job I ever had. And he would build these big foundations for large homes with blocks. And my job, of course, being the mason's helper, was to do what? Yeah, I would carry the blocks out to the foundation. And I would be the one mixing the cement, because at the site that we were at, there wasn't power initially there at the site yet. So I would be hand mixing the cement. And he would say to me as he's laying the block, the butter's too wet, the butter's too dry. He called the cement butter. That was the key lingo. I was just trying to inform you of the mason's lingo. It was a tough job, the toughest job I ever had. And one thing he consistently said to me as I was doing all this work, hey, Mel, we got to do the foundation right, because a small problem here is a big problem later on. A small problem here is a big problem later on. That's true spiritually as well. If we don't have the right foundation, if we don't take the word of God and faithfully implement it, there's a crack in our foundation. And if you've ever bought a house, and we were just about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, looking for homes. If somebody says to you, oh, there's a crack in that window, that can be fixed, amen? It's not a big problem. There's a leak in that roof, that can be fixed, right? There's some windows that need to be replaced because they're drafty. That can be fixed. But if somebody says to you, there's a problem with the foundation, that's a big problem. We're moving on to the next house. That's tough to fix. But I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ gives amazing grace for all of us as we are in the activity of building in our lives to have a foundation that's solid, a solid rock. By the grace of God, we can begin to build our lives today, if you haven't already, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That's what these builders were doing. They were building their homes. There wasn't much of a difference in their materials. Jesus doesn't say anything that they had different materials. The only difference between the two was the foundation. That was the only difference. That leads me to the third truth. One defining feature, the foundation. If you want to define your life, if you want to be a person that says, my life will be defined by this, then you have to identify what kind of foundation you're building your life upon. See, everything in that house that you're building, if you're building it on a solid foundation, rests on that foundation. Everything on that house depends on that foundation. If the foundation fails, everything else will begin to fail. I remember reading about the Hurricane Katrina, and there was a neighborhood that was hit by Katrina, and all the homes were blown down in that neighborhood except for one. And the news reporter went up to the owner of that house and said, why did your house stand against the hurricane of Katrina? His answer was amazing. I'll never forget it. He said, because I built it according to Florida State Building Code. Everyone else in the neighborhood didn't. When it said 2x6 trusses in the roof, I built 2x6 trusses. When it said you need this kind of foundation, I put that kind of foundation down. I built it according to code. And the code said, if you build it like this, it will withstand a hurricane. And it did. Everyone else didn't. See, they didn't build on the right foundation. And we have this amazing building code that's been given to us by our God and our Savior. And we ought to love the Word of God and say, God, I get it. There will be trials in this life. There will be hurricanes. It hit the house that was built well as it hit the house that wasn't. The streams came and broke against the houses in the same way. And God doesn't promise that our lives will be pain-free and suffering-free. If we think that, we're misinterpreting the Bible. Because the Bible clearly says there will be tribulation in this world. There will be problems because we live in a sinful world that has rejected God. And sometimes that hits believers as well. The pain of that. But the defining feature is the foundation. If you build on the solid rock, I believe it's all about this. Living with integrity according to the authoritative, unique life principles of Jesus Christ. You know, if you take our coins today in America, like a quarter is not pure silver anymore, right? Do you remember when they switched that? It was about 1964, 65. I used to collect coins as a kid. And I remember they announced that they would no longer make silver coins anymore, but they'd be clad with copper. And I used to try to collect all those coins and silver coins before they turn them into copper coins. And to this day, I know I probably still have them somewhere. I don't know where they are. But I collected all these because they were coins of integrity. They were silver all the way through. But now our coins are no longer that way. They have copper in the middle. They're no longer coins of integrity. And what integrity means that all the way through, deep down into a person's life, you take the principles of God's word and you apply them to everything. Living with integrity according to the authoritative, unique life principles of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ stands above and beyond every other world teacher, every other philosopher, every other New Age guru, every other counselor. Because Jesus Christ did something that no one else ever did. He died and rose again. That's why in 1 Corinthians 3 it says this, according to the grace of God, Paul writes, given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. I love this. He says, I'm not only building my life on a solid foundation, but I'm laying a foundation for others. If I'm a dad or a mom today, I want to make sure I am doing all I can for my kids to build their lives on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, because that will be the greatest legacy I can leave my kids. That will be the greatest gift I can give my kids. Paul says, I'm trying to impact others, laying a foundation that's built on Jesus Christ. And we have to take care of how we build. That means we have to analyze every day, how am I building my life? What's the impact of my life on others? And every day, I believe this with all my heart, I pray it every morning, my quiet time. Lord, thank you for this day. It's a wonderful gift. And I started praying that about a year and 3 months ago, after I came out of my heart attack. Every day was a wonderful gift. And every day I pray, Lord, thank you for this new day. It's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift. Every day is a gift from God. Every day he wants you to use it for something eternal, to make a difference for him, to make a difference in eternity, not to waste your time building your lives on a lousy foundation, but to build it for Christ. He goes on and says this, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. There really is no other foundation. Everything else is sinking sand. It's not a foundation. There's one foundation on which we can build our lives. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are many who are building on shifting sand. They reject the teachings of Jesus and live according to contradictory principles. For whatever reason, they decide to reject Jesus, even though there is amazing evidence for the fact that Jesus is unique in all of history, and they resent us even saying that, and they want us to be quiet about that. But the reality is the reality. Jesus stands unique in all of human history. And so many people are building their lives on shifting sand. Galatians 1 says this. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I'm amazed that you're even listening to these other teachings out there that are a different gospel than the one that I have taught you. He says this, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. You know what that tells me? If there is another religion that says, hey, I got a message from an angel, and this angel told me there's a new revelation from God. It's a little bit different than the one that you've got, but it's a new thing. It's a better thing. What's my response ought to be? Well, that message is accursed. Let him be accursed. He's changing the very words of Jesus Christ. I tell people, it's always a bad decision to put yourself in contradiction to the greatest life ever lived. It's always a bad decision to disagree with Jesus. No matter how much you don't like what he says, your opinion doesn't change anything. Because my opinion, if it's different than Jesus Christ, has zero authority. Doesn't matter what I think, but it does matter what Jesus thinks. And for people to stand in contradiction to Christ, they're putting themselves in a really bad place. And there are different ways of looking at life, different worldviews all around us. And I want you to know they are out there. Let me give you a few shifting sands today. Some things that are shifting sands. The first one, relativism. Relativism basically says, hey, there is no moral absolute. Whatever works for you in that situation is okay, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's okay for me. There's no absolute morality. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we would say, yes, there is. It's backed up by the unique life of Jesus Christ. But there are so many people out there who want to live relativistic lives. Hey, it's okay for me. It might not be okay for you. And what's okay for you may not be okay for me. And in different situations, our morality may change. There's no absolute authority. And what happens is the person who should be God, who is our God in heaven, is unseated from the throne, and we become gods. We like to think that we're the God. I'm the absolute authority. I'm the one that says what's good or what isn't. So that feels real good, but it's a lie. It's deception. It's what the world teaches very often, but it's a lie because it stands in contradiction to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Here's another one, universalism, that all roads eventually lead to God, could be also termed as pluralism. Many roads lead to God, and every one is equally valid as long as people are, what do they say? Sincere. As long as they're sincere. Sincerity rules. If that person is sincere, then of course that road is going to lead to God. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. That's not the words of Jesus Christ. And to believe that there are many trails that lead to the top of the ski hill, it's not what Jesus taught. We need to stand according to the words of Jesus Christ. Here's another one, secular humanism. It's an atheistic worldview. It basically sees everything from a naturalistic point of view. That God, there is no God. We can't rely on God. He doesn't exist. Man is the measure of all things. Man is the center of the universe. We are the ones that create our own destiny, leaving God out of the picture. That's a secular humanism. An atheistic approach to life, an atheistic approach to the creation we see around us. And my prayer would be that all of us here today could stand up and say, no, there is solid evidence for the fact that our God created, that our amazing designer put this world together so that we would have this planet on which to live and glorify him with our lives. That's the evidence. But sadly, there are many people rejecting it. And again, it doesn't matter how many people believe this, how many people reject the principles of Christ, they stand in contradiction to the greatest life that was ever lived. Here's another one. New Age thinking. New Age thinking. It's out there. It's kind of amorphous, but it's this spirituality that talks about forces and energy. I remember we had a family vacation a few years back to Sedona, Arizona, and the beautiful Red Rocks. Any of you ever been there? Sedona, Arizona. Yeah, beautiful place, beautiful Red Rocks. And we went to this, we had gotten this kind of timeshare thing that was really cheap and inexpensive, but it was a pretty nice place. When we got there, we heard that there was going to be a seminar on the power of the vortex in Sedona. Wow, we got to find out about the vortex. I already knew what this is all about, but I had to just stick my head in and listen for a while. And there were all these people from the resort in this room listening to these two individuals talking about the power of the vortex in Sedona and the power of crystals and crystallizing all these different things in their lives. And these look like intelligent people. And they would say things like this. They would say, you go out today and you sit at the base of a red rock mountain and you just stare at that mountain and allow the forces of nature, the power of the vortex to just enter you. And you might not have an experience today or tomorrow or next week or even in a year, but one day you will have an experience And I'm like, yes, thinking, why did I ever sit through that dumb seminar? That'll be the experience I would have. But you'll have some experience because there's a power out there. There's an energy. People drink it in. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, right? They're drinking the Kool-Aid. New Age thinking. Everyone is a god unto themselves. Spirituality that fits me. There was a book that was being promoted by a famous TV personality. Her name was Oprah Winfrey. She was promoting this book, Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth. How many of you heard about that book? Yeah, she was promoting it on her show, and it was on the New York Times list a couple of years ago. It was the number one bestseller in advice books, in life books. It was the number one bestseller. The number two was by the same author, similar book to A New Earth. And she had invited Eckhart Tolle, this New Age philosopher, New Age thinker, to do these webinars, and 2 million plus people would listen to these webinars. Eckhart Tolle talking about this new age approach to life, basically a form of Hinduism. And let me read to you some of the quotes. I went to a bookstore, Barnes and Noble's, to read that book. So I took a couple of afternoons to read it because I didn't want to buy the book. I didn't want to spend $1 on that book and give one penny of my money to Eckhart Tolle. Amen? You like that? I didn't want to walk out of Barnes and Noble with that book. I'm going to read this. Because I had heard there were Christians buying that book. In fact, I had a friend of mine who said that he sat next to a woman on a plane that was the wife of a pastor, reading the book and talking about how much she liked it because it quoted Jesus. Well, I began to read the book. And there were quotes even in the first chapter that if I said these things here at Riverview, my prayer would be that all of you would rise up and say, Mel, you're fired. If you believe what this says, you're fired. You don't belong here. It's not what we believe. And Christians need discernment to say, this is not the truth. And just because somebody quotes Jesus doesn't mean they represent him accurately. Amen? Amen. If you see a book that quotes Jesus, it doesn't mean they represent him accurately. In the first chapter alone, let me read you a quote that I read. There are Christians buying this book telling me, I've been reading A New Earth. You're kidding me. Listen, this is what he said in the first chapter alone. Mel, it says this, we need to understand here that heaven is not a location, but refers to an inner reality of consciousness. This is an esoteric meaning of the word, and this is also the meaning in the teachings of Jesus. Oh, he quoted Jesus, so therefore that must be what Jesus taught. No. I looked up the word heaven and Father. In the New Testament, the location of it occurred 62 times. Let me just read you some of the verses in the New Testament that talk about heaven being a location. It says this, in the same way, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Exactly. And then he says this, he's talking about your life, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Exactly. Then you will have no reward before your Father who is in heaven. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. If I ever taught that heaven wasn't a location, you ought to be like Donald Trump and say, you're fired. Fired. Say just like he does. You're fired. That doesn't belong here. Here's another quote. I can't believe Christians are even thinking about this book as a solid book to read. And what is the kingdom of God but the simple but profound joy of being that is there when you let go of identifications and so become poor in spirit? That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what Jesus taught about what it means to be poor in spirit. Again, quoting Jesus, but not understanding at all what he meant. He wrote this, all religions are equally false and all are equally true depending on how you use them. You can use them on the service of the ego or you can use them in the service of the truth. You hear what he said? All religions equally false and equally true. How does he determine when a religion is false? If a religion teaches anything different from what he teaches, he considers it a false religion. This was the number one bestseller and number two bestseller in the New York Times. Here's another quote. The truth is inseparable from who you are. Yes, you are the truth. Oh, Mel, I like that. I am the truth. Yes, you are the truth. If you look for it elsewhere, you will be deceived every time, he writes. The very being that you are is truth. Jesus tried to convey this when he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. These words uttered by Jesus are one of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth if understood correctly, like I do, Eckhart Tolle says. That's not what Jesus meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wasn't saying that we are all sources of truth. He was saying he himself. Eckhart Tolle, read the next verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, Jesus was setting himself up in distinction to everyone else, that he is the source of all truth. And for us to build our lives and on any other foundation other than the Word of God, we're deceiving ourselves, and the ripple effect of our lives is extremely negative. That leads me to the next shifting sand. It's this, nominal Christianity. Saying I'm a Christian, but not following through on the demands of Christ. A Christian in name only. Yeah, Mel, I'm a Christian. I go to church, and yeah, I believe in Jesus. But do you really believe that he is the foundation of your life, that it, upon his work on the cross, that you have forgiveness, that there's nothing good in and of yourself that merits salvation? The only good we have that would merit salvation is the forgiveness that we've received by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the source of our joy. Well, there's no more ifs, ands, and buts about it. I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm not sure if there's enough good works on my plate to allow God to let me in, if it outweighs my bad works. You don't have to worry about that anymore because it's the work of Jesus Christ. And you've taken that reality and you're living it out, not just in name, but Jesus Christ truly is first place in our lives. He drives everything in our lives. There are two attitudes, I believe, that lead to a poor foundation, and we see it kind of in the text here as the builder who builds quickly builds this house on shifting sand. Here's the first one, the desire for a fast and easy approach. Hey, Mel, the Christian life can be demanding at times, and I want something fast and easy. I don't want something that's really demanding that changes me. So that's the attitude of the builder who built on shifting sand. If you look at the one that built on the rock, he dug deep, right? That takes work. That takes work. That was my job as a mason's helper. I had to dig out the hole that had been built by the backhoe. The walls had collapsed because of rain. My job was to carry this mud outside the hole. That was hard work to dig deep. Hard work. But the guy who built on the sand, he didn't want to do that. He just wanted to build. I got all my materials here. Let's get going. I don't want to lay a proper foundation. I want the fast and easy approach. Here's the next negative characteristic. The denial of the dangers and consequences of the wrong foundation. Hey, those storms will never come. It doesn't matter. Look at that fool over there who's digging down deep into the ground. Nothing's going to happen that will ever shake my house. Hasn't happened for the last year or two. It's not going to happen. Denial of the consequences. Looking down the road of your life and seeing where ultimately a life leads that does not get built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. There's one Christian writer, I like what he wrote. It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it. That's a great truth to allow to sink deep into your heart. It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the consequences, the responsibilities of not doing it. Look down the road of our lives and to see the consequences of not living according to God's word. Here's the next principle I see in the text. It's this, one powerful test, storms of life. The storms of life. See, the storms of life had nothing to do with one person or the other. There wasn't really any differentiation between the two. The storms hit both equally. The storms weren't about differentiation. They weren't about this guy is so much better than that guy. This guy's a nice person. This guy's not. Had nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. The question was the house built on the right foundation? The storms weren't about condemnation. It was equal for both. It wasn't as if God was condemning the person that built on the wrong foundation, because the storms hit both. So the storms weren't about condemnation. The storms were about this. The storms were about preparation. Getting ready for what all of us will ultimately face, trials in our life, the reality of death for all of us. It's all about preparation. It's all about preparation, preparing our lives for what we know will come and not being overwhelmed by the storms of this life, because our lives are built on the right foundation. Our homes today are built on the right foundation. Moms today are making sure that their homes are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Dads today, same thing. I'm going to build my life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, because when the storms and trials come, and they will hit us all, point is this: are you building your life on the right foundation? The one desired outcome that I see in the text is this: standing strong. See, the one desired outcome that Jesus wants us all to have is the one that dug deep into the ground till he hit the rock and he built his house on the rock. Why? So his house would stand strong. I want to challenge you today as we close. Reaffirm your love and commitment to Christ. Reaffirm your love and commitment to Christ. Don't allow the trials and storms of this life to try to get you off the right foundation. Stay on that foundation. Keep looking at life through the filter of God's word. Reaffirm your love and commitment to Jesus Christ. No matter what this world says, no matter what the opinions of our culture are today, we're going to follow Jesus. He's our leader. Here's the second thing. Be on the alert for false beliefs seeking to infiltrate your life. If there's a book that you pick up like Eckhart Tolle's and begin to read it, oh man, I can tell right away, because I know the word of God, this is a lie, this is deception. He or she is misquoting Jesus. I'm not going to believe those lies. Those lies. We're going to preach the truth. We had an Easter service, almost 1,200 people came to our Easter services, and I was talking to one lady, and she said, yeah, my neighbor came, and I said, how'd you like it? And he said, well, it sounded like the pastor was saying that there's only one way to get to heaven. And I didn't really like that. I didn't. Should we change our message because of that? No, absolutely not, right? I would rather him reject the truth than believe a lie, amen? I would rather someone reject the truth, because at least they're confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ, than to accept a lie. Than to accept a lie. Don't allow the thinking of this world to infiltrate your life. Don't allow the thinking of this world in moral areas to infiltrate your life. We're driven back to the Word of God because it stands as this amazing guidebook for our lives that's been given to us by God himself. Here's the third thing. Implement God's Word in every part of your life. Allow the foundation to impact every part of your life. I'm going to ask you to do this today. Think about one Christ-like change in your personal walk or work this week. You know what, Mel? I've got to let it impact my life. I haven't been into the Word of God like I should. I need to get into the Word of God more regularly. I haven't been praying like I should. I've been caving in to the pressures of my workplace. They're doing things that I just kind of enter into and enjoy, and I get involved in it, and I know I'm compromising my walk with Christ. I'm going to change that today, because I'm going to allow my life to be built on the right foundation. In my home, I'm allowing things to creep into my family that aren't right. I want to stay as far away from sin as I possibly can. Could you think about one Christ-like change, just one, that you can make this week to make your walk with Christ more like what he wants it to be? Here's the next thing. One Christ-like change in your marriage, in your home this week. It's Mother's Day. One Christ-like change. Hey, you know, husbands, maybe praying with your wives. Wives praying with your husbands to end each day. Reading God's word together as a family, when you can gather your family together, even if it's once a week, just to have those family devotions. Maybe it's every night with your kids as you're putting them to bed. One Christ-like change in your marriage. one Christ-like change in your home this week. Brainstorm together as a family, as a couple, to see what that may be so that we can take the Word of God and begin to build. Because all of us are building something. And may our lives build a life, build a home, build a family that represents Jesus Christ and is built on His solid foundation. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for all that You've done for us. And Lord, our desire is to build our lives on Your foundation. There is only one. Every other ground is sinking sand. Every other one is sinking, shifting sand. Today, Lord, we have the blessing of knowing that we're building our lives upon Your foundation. May we take the Word of God and implement it accurately, effectively. Because we want to give You the glory, God, because Your plan is perfect. Your plan is perfect. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.